All right, you guys ready to start? I know we got a lot of folks out of town, folks sick this morning. So this may be it for this morning. I said this may be our group this morning because of folks out of town and folks sick and all that kind of thing. So, all right. Well, I'll let y'all know, as I think most of you know now, Mary Beth is in the hospital, and they're monitoring her heart right now. So they gave her some medicine early this morning. We got there like at around 5 or so, and they gave her something to calm her heart down. It was like over 200, and her blood pressure was like 200 over something. I mean, it was way up there. And so they gave her something to slow her heart down, and that worked. And then everything seemed to calm down. And then they decided to slow that medicine down to see if her heart would go back into the AFib it was doing before, and it did. So now we're sort of just going to have to go through some tests. She'll have to go through tests and try to figure this out. So that's where she is. If you got any questions, that's where she is this morning. And we'll pray for her. And anyhow, just to let y'all know what's happening. So I know she's probably watching right now on Facebook. So anyhow, all right, well, let's pray. And I liked last week's format in Sunday school. So we're going to do that again. So I got a few notes, and I hope y'all have some comments. So, and just keep in mind when we do it this way, the only one thing we have to consider is people watching can't hear what people are saying. So I may repeat what you guys say for the sake of someone watching that can't hear. So anyhow, let's pray, and we will delve into our topic this morning. Father, thank you so much for these words that you've given us. I do pray that you would guide the doctors with Mary Beth and get her whatever the issues are with her heart, get them resolved. I thank you for some good health care and all that. Thank you for each soul that's here this morning. Pray you'd bless our time here and make it productive. And thank you again for salvation in Jesus Christ. And for those that are sick or those that are traveling, pray you'd get them home safe if they're traveling, heal up their bodies if they're sick. And again, thank you for this opportunity to gather together. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here's our subject matter this morning. Is there a difference between goodness and righteousness? And I'll tell you how this came about, and then we can talk about this. Obviously, I see in the Bible that there is a difference, but when it comes to eternal life, what is the one thing people almost always say about, you know, are you going to heaven when you die, or do you have eternal life? Do you know for sure where you're going when you die? What is the one thing people will tie to eternal life? What do they would almost always say? Being good. I hope I'm good enough, or I plan on being good enough, or when God weighs out the scales or whatever, you know, I hope I'm good enough. As though being good was connected to eternal life. And what's interesting about that is, I don't want to get too far ahead. I want you guys to participate too. But, let's put it out there. Let's talk about it. So is there a difference between goodness and righteousness? Is there a difference between, and this is for you guys, y'all, chime in. Yes. Okay. I have a yes. We have a yes. What is the difference? That's maybe a harder question. One has to do with salvation, the other one does not. That's pretty good. Josh, you had your hand up. So goodness is something you can do, you can act out goodness. Righteousness is something you are or have or, okay, that's a good thought. What else? Go ahead, Mike. I'm asking y'all to define. So, all right, so here is one definition of righteousness. It is just or accordant to the divine law. That's Webster's definition of righteousness. Just or in accordance with divine law. Goodness, do you want to define goodness? Or you want to? Okay, all right. What other thoughts you guys? What is there a difference between goodness and righteousness? And if so, what is the difference? Is there a difference? I've got yes, multiple yeses. Yes, yes.
In the book of Ephesians, he's talking about the new man and the old man, the fleeting things, and to walk in goodness, and if you have an opportunity to do good.
To do good, yeah.
And those are applied to physical things and spiritual things. It always, to me, I see in the Bible as righteousness is something that, like when John the Baptist, he was preaching. Man can receive this earth as it be given from heaven. Mm-hmm. And you know, the righteousness is something that's like, to me, like it's above the standard of goodness.
Yeah. Okay. So here's a thought. The first things that are good in the Bible. Do anybody remember what the first things that are good in the Bible? Yeah, creation. So it's not people. It's not people. It's inanimate objects. The Lord said he separates the light from the darkness, and he says that's good. And then he creates the waters, and he says that's good. And he creates animals, and he says that's good. And so goodness is associated not with people. It's associated with, I guess. An act or a thing that is perfected, or a thing that's doing what it's supposed to do. For instance, a good soil or something. If you have a good soil, you're talking about something that's doing something that's supposed to do.
Yeah, makes sense?
Right, and that can be a work, which we'll get into in a little bit. This came up because, obviously y'all have heard it, but people in no matter Christian, whatever they claim to believe, always seem to associate goodness with eternal life. If I'm a good person, then I'll get the rewards of, you know, eternal life, or, you know, when God weighs the scales and all that stuff, which, you know, that's not how eternal life works. But people universally, I listened to a fella that was a nominal Muslim, which means he's Muslim in name, but not really, doesn't really practice it. And he talked about being good and hoping that you know, settled the score with God, you know, if he's good. And then another guy that was a Hollywood celebrity talking with him, and he said, you know, I just hope I'm good enough. And then that hope that sort of weighs it out, but it doesn't matter. Seems it doesn't matter where you come from. It's always goodness associated with eternal life, but that goodness doesn't have anything to do with eternal life. And so I'll show you some of these verses, but that's why this can be important. Like you said, Mike, work can be classified as good, a good work. A good soil, a good, I don't know, what are some other inanimate things? There can be good, a good job, a good, I mean, you can apply that description to a lot of different things that aren't people. But righteousness, you wouldn't say, Maybe if you're in the 70s or something, you might say it's a righteous job or whatever. But righteousness is not something you would apply to an inanimate object. That's like a relationship to a law. That's like a personal or an individual's relationship to a law or something like that. So, first question, you know, is there a difference between good and righteous? I think all of y'all agree there is some difference. And why it's important, the most important reason is because it seems like everyone ties goodness to eternal life, but the Lord eternal life. In fact, we read it. You don't have to read it in Matthew. I know we've been in Matthew a lot. But in Matthew and Mark, y'all remember what that rich young man asked him? He said, good master, what good thing do I need to do to get eternal life? And Jesus Christ immediately just discards the whole good thought. He says, number one, why do you call me good? Only God is good. And then but he says, nevertheless, here's some righteousness according to the law. And so, but he immediately discards the whole connection of goodness and eternal life. Like you aren't in a position to be good, so just discount that, because that's not a connection to eternal life. That's not the goodness is not the vehicle that gets you eternal life. So why callest thou me good? Only God's good. And then he goes a whole another direction. So there is a difference. We talk good can be, according to Webster, a complete or sufficiently perfect in its kind, having physical qualities best adapted to its design and use. I think that works with creation. You know, God creates and he says that's good. It fits its design. It's doing what it's supposed to do, as opposed to bad or imperfect or corrupted or impaired. We say like things like good timber, good soil, good cloth, good color, things like that, good job, all those things we talked about. But those things are not in relation to a moral law or anything. It's just they do what they're supposed to be doing. So that said, look in Proverbs chapter 11, and I'm going to show you things about righteousness versus goodness in the Bible. So if the thought is, are you going to heaven when you die, and people say, I hope I'm good enough, goodness isn't connected to eternal life. I mean, not in that way. It's not the vehicle to get you there. There's none good, yeah. Jesus Christ said, only God is good, so you can take that off the table. You're not good. Now, does that mean sinners can't do good things? No, that's not what that means. It just means sinners aren't good. They can be very capable of doing good things and helping other sinners out and all that, but inherently good or like good like God is good? No, people aren't that way. I mean, people fight battles. I guess you could say you and I fight flesh in the mind and in the heart, that God is a good God doesn't... He doesn't think that way. He doesn't have those thoughts. He's good, and everything that he produces is good. All right, here's a verse about righteousness. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 4. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Righteousness is the thing that is life there. Righteousness delivers from death. There's a couple verses that say that. You couldn't say goodness does that. Righteousness delivereth from death. Here's one more. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28. Proverbs Proverbs 12:28. In the way of righteousness is what? Life. And in the pathway thereof, there is no death. So righteousness is associated with life. Goodness, not necessarily. Righteousness is associated with life. There's a, try to think back, all the way back to almost the beginning of Matthew. Remember what Jesus Christ said about righteousness, and he said, except your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. So he ties righteousness to life. He ties righteousness, it's all through the Bible. It's tied to life. It's different than being good. There can be good works, but there's also good things that are not don't have souls, or they're inanimate things, but they're good. So the difference is important, because righteousness is the thing that's connected to life. It can be. But what we'll find, well, I'll show it to you. We'll get ahead of ourselves. And
you know, like when Abraham and Moses, by their belief, he gave them righteousness by believing.
Yeah, and we'll get to that. Yeah.
Life.
Because righteousness, there's a difference between goodness and righteousness, not only in the fact about, you know, its connections to eternal life or lack of connections to eternal life, but it's also different in how you get it and how it's applied. Like righteousness, you get a certain way. Goodness, you get, is a different thing. It's a different thing, and we'll look at that. In fact, y'all brought it up. How do you get righteousness? Birth? What's the verse on that? Birth? New birth. He said new birth. New birth, yeah. Okay. Must be born again. Does it say righteousness in there? Not in that. Okay. Believe God. Remember the, what's the verse for that one? I know you know it, Joe. Romans 4:6. All right, let's look at it. Romans 4:6. Romans chapter 4, we'll start in verse 5 for a little context. That's actually in my notes there, Romans 4, 6. That's good. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. But him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. That's an important verse there. Does anyone remember why David said what he said there? Exactly. Because according to the law, David was not a good man. Because according to the law, David was condemned. I guess that's the word to use. The law, David was condemned. He was condemned as an adulterer. He was also condemned as a murderer. So he had no standing as far as the law was concerned. He was guilty twice. Yeah. Yeah, and it affected that part of it, his work. But so he says, David describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Because God writes off the guilt. that's against David. He writes it off, and David writes a psalm about it. He begs God for mercy, for forgiveness, and the Lord says, yes, and it's going to cost you this child. And, you know, won't go into all the details about all that. There's reasons for all that, but the point is, David understood, under the law, he is a condemned man. It's not like Old Testament keeping the law. He is a condemned man. He begs God for forgiveness and for mercy. God shows him mercy and gives him forgiveness. And then David says, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Not blessed are they who can keep the law real well and do real good in their life. Blessed are they whose sins are forgiven. That's a blessing. Look in verse 8 there. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. And that's what he said. And all the way, you guys are mentioned it, all the way back in Genesis chapter 15, the Bible says that that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. God just credited Abraham with righteousness he doesn't have. He just credits him with righteousness. And what he credited him with righteousness for, the reason was because he believed what God said. Abraham's a sinner according to moral law, according to, you know, Israel's law, according to law. Abraham's a sinner like every other human being. He's a sinner. But he believes God, and God credits to Abraham righteousness. All right, so that's important. So how do you get righteousness? Believe God. It's by faith. It's by faith. Okay. Now, there are some times where a man is righteous, or I guess innocent according to the law. For instance, David will also say things like, he's been innocent, meaning he has been innocent. He has no ill will towards Saul when Saul's hunting him down. He's not trying to get back at Saul. He's not trying to be vengeful. So in his heart, he is innocent in that sense. He doesn't hate Saul, even though he's being hunted. And he will sometimes rely on that with the Lord and say, Lord, my heart is free of guilt of this. I haven't done anything. And that's true. He hasn't done anything in certain instances. I mean, when he's talking about his relationship with Saul and all that kind of thing. So there are some cases where righteousness, like you said, Mike, it has to do with a person's relationship to the law. Ultimately, freedom from guilt comes by faith. That's the only way it can happen. A full freedom from guilt. That's why Paul says what he says in Romans chapter 4. And he's just referencing the Old Testament. He's not making something new up. In fact, look over in Daniel chapter 9. Look at this one. And we'll get to the goodness in a little bit. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 7. So here's a man that if there was a man who kept the law or was righteous in his own right before God, Daniel would have been a guy like that. In fact, the Lord says through Ezekiel, he says, look, if there is Noah or Job or Daniel in this city, the city is still going to be burned down. So he even notes that Daniel is a man who has a heart for the law of the Lord and things like that. But this is what Daniel says about his own life. Daniel chapter 9, verse 7. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto who? Thee. It's not mine. I don't have it. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. I mean, you can go on like that. And this is a man that God highlighted and said, this is a man who loves my law. And if there was anyone who could have developed their own righteousness and put it before God, I mean, nobody can, but Daniel would have been a guy that would have done that. Paul would have been another one. Noah would have been one. Job would have been one. But Daniel says, we have sinned. That's why we're in the position we're in, because we have sinned. That's why our country is the way it is, because we have sinned. And then he says, Lord, to you belong righteousness. Look at this, Jeremiah chapter 23. You think righteousness apart from the law is a New Testament concept? Look at this, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6. Jeremiah, right before Daniel goes into captivity, Jeremiah is the prophet preaching, and he's warning the nation this what's about to happen. Jeremiah 23, verse 6. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called. What is he called? The Lord our righteousness. That, and you know who that is. That's going to be Jesus Christ. That's what Paul talks about all through Romans. I mean, now the righteousness of God has appeared unto men, and it's Jesus Christ. He is righteousness to all them that believe. So how do you get righteousness? Well, you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Put your faith in the words of God. That's how righteousness gets imputed to a person's account. Just a little note here. I'll mention this. So you find out that people before Jesus Christ, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, you find that people were sort of set aside in the earth after they died if they had righteousness credited to them. But it wasn't sufficient righteousness to get them before God the Father. It was sufficient righteousness to just separate them from the judgment of God in hell. So you'll find like Samuel and Abraham are in a place where it's insulated from hell and fire and all that kind of thing, and they're at peace and they're just waiting, but they're in the earth. You read about this stuff in Luke 16 and or Luke 19. So they're waiting, and then when Jesus Christ ascends, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, he takes some of the Old Testament souls who are waiting with him, and it looks like he just takes the ones that are buried around Jerusalem with him, and then everyone else sort of waits. But the point is, there's not sufficient righteousness until Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God, ascends into heaven. He is righteousness. So how do you get righteousness? We've talked about that. Then I don't know how else to ask. How do you get goodness? Or do you get goodness? Or is goodness something you just do? All right, look in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse verse 8. So let's consider that one. Can you get goodness? Let's ask that. Can you get goodness? I don't know. No, you probably can't get goodness. There's none good but God. Now you may be able to perform good things, and sinners can perform good things, but to get goodness, to be good, that's a different thing. You can be righteous because you've had righteousness credited to you, but to be good, that's a different thing. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. We always focus on the works part of this, but let's keep reading. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All right, so that's where we stop. You get that, you know, this is how grace is reckoned, saved through faith, by grace through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's keep reading. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Unto good works, unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. All right, so you can't necessarily be good like you can be righteous or have righteousness, that standing, you can have righteousness accredited to you. You can do good things, though. In fact, that's what God created. If you're saved, that's the what you're created for in Jesus Christ, is to do good things, to do good works. Let's see. 2 Timothy, I'll give you another verse. I'm trying to think of some more. I don't have a whole lot of more questions. Do y'all have any more thoughts that y'all would like to add to this? Yep. Led in righteousness, and goodness follows. Yeah, it's good. It's a good thought. Go ahead, Alan. Here in 2 Timothy, look at this one, chapter 3, verse 16. Second Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's kind of like what you're saying, Tommy. Led in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. So you got kind of both of them there too. So you've got the leading of righteousness, which is life. Direction. Instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So you're equipped through the scriptures to do good works now. Now, good works aren't going to save you. They can't save you. You read about it in Ephesians chapter 4. But righteousness definitely does save. Righteousness is salvation. Righteousness is life. Good works are not salvation, but they follow. They seem to follow that righteousness. Like Tommy pointed out in Psalm 23. So this goes back to the original question or the original thought. It seems like most people get these things out of order. Go ahead, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Might be viewed objectionable, whereas righteousness is, as you describe in Ephesians, it's just a gift of God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a, so you said it's a.
Goodness would be a moral record given by our, dictated by our surroundings.
Can be a cultural thing. Okay, yeah, it can be. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It can be relative, yeah. It can be relative to the culture. Righteousness, when we deal with the Bible and with the Creator, this is kind of where this goes. People get these two things out of order, where they say, if I do good, then I will get righteousness sufficient to pass a judgment. When the Bible says, no, you get righteousness and then you do good. Does that make sense? Like you have to receive righteousness first, and then you're equipped to do good. Whereas people say, well, you have eternal life, you're going to heaven when you die. Well, I hope I'm good enough, meaning I hope my good will gather me enough righteousness at the judgment so that I will pass the judgment and God will say, you know, he weighs it all out and says you did good, which is just getting, you know, what do you say, the cart before the horse. It's righteousness, then goodness follows, not goodness, then righteousness follows, which is almost a universal philosophy of the world that if I'm good, then righteousness follows. But God is the total opposite. It's you have to have righteousness, and then goodness follows that righteousness. Does that make sense? I mean, I hope that makes sense. Go ahead, Alan. Yeah. Right. Uh-huh.
They eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowledge of it, right? But they were expelled before they could eat of the tree of life, so they could not get eternal life by just knowing what good and evil are.
That's a good thought.
So,
yeah.
Like, right from the beginning, he's like, no.
Exactly. That's good. That's a good thought. That's a good thought. That's a good thought. I like that. Very good. Catherine, you get a star. That's good. Yeah, you know what? If we can keep it going like this, and I think you can. You guys are doing good. I like this format because honestly, I learn things when you guys say things. I mean, it can be very informative, and I learn things from y'all. Y'all think about some of this stuff, and y'all have some good thoughts on these things. So I like the format of it. I like when you guys talk about things. Y'all are smart folks. You got some thoughts that are good. So do what?
No.
Yeah. Laura said, and we're pretty too. So that's good. That's really good. So difference, basic question this morning, difference between goodness and righteousness. Why is it important? It's important because the world has the thing completely backwards. And when you get to the Bible, the Lord says, no, it's not goodness comes before righteousness. It's righteousness comes before goodness. It's not that you do good and achieve righteousness, it's you get righteousness and then you do good.
It's fascinating that that's been a belief system in the beginning of civilization.
It really has. And it's almost universal. It doesn't matter if...
It
absolutely. It's so... It is. It really is. It really is the world philosophy. Like if you believe in karma, if you believe whatever it is, it's goodness precedes righteousness. But in God's judicial system, no. It's righteousness precedes goodness. You have to get righteousness, and then the goodness follows. Not you get goodness, or you do good, and righteousness follows. So. I don't know. That's good. I thought that was interesting. Y'all are interesting folks, so it's good. All right, let's pray, and we'll wrap this one up. Father, thank you so much for these words. Thank you for good Sunday school, and I pray it's helpful. Just think through some of these things, and this thought is really seems to be prevalent throughout the world. No, it doesn't really matter where or what. Belief system it is, it's a matter of seems to be the absolute opposite of what you said, and I pray it's helpful. Thank you for each soul that's here this morning. I do pray that you'd continue to give doctors wisdom, Mary Beth, her heart issues, and pray you'd get all of that stabilized and figured out, and give her grace, give us grace, give kids grace, and help through all this time, and thank you again for everybody that's here this morning, and those that are watching. I pray it's been helpful. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You're dismissed.